Amen. Thank you, Lee. All right, special treat today, one of my favorite days of the year is when our good friend Peter Paris is with us. Peter is responsible for a lot of my spiritual formation, so he's the one you need to talk to. let's let him get right into it. Y'all listen closely, get ready to rejoice. There's good news a-coming. Would y'all welcome our good friend Peter Paris.
Well, as I said earlier, this is the most creative fellowship Carla and I ever visit. It's wonderful to see what's been going on for so long. Now, 6 years, it's incredible. Well, let's get right into what's on my heart this morning. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 2, while you're turning there, what I want to share this morning really is a contrast. It's what we inherited through Adam, called the Adamic legacy, and what we receive by way of inheritance in Jesus Christ. These two men are the only two men in God's economy. One is called the first man, and the other is called the second man, the last Adam. Yeah, the last, because there's not going to be another. God has done his perfect work in the Lord Jesus. It can't be improved upon. No one can ever accuse God of being able to do something better. It's all been done. Everything has been catered for in our Lord Jesus Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to start off in reading in verse 1. This is something that we were all involved with, every one of us here. As you'll see, Paul designates every one of us as part of this inheritance. Verse 1, Ephesians 2, and you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a good start, isn't it? That's true of us. That's true of you. Just think to yourself afresh, this is true of me. In which you formerly walked, so we were sort of spiritual zombies, we were the walking dead. We were dead to God. And according to the course of this world, thank God there's a world that's not of this world. There's a realm that's not of this world. And it was according to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. It wasn't that we didn't have a spiritual side to our nature. It's just that we were dead to God. But in the spiritual nature that you in fact have, whether you believe you've got a spirit or a soul or not, your spirit, soul, and body. If you're unconverted, it's normally body, soul, and spirit because that's the way you live. But you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And this is it. See, amongst them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Don't lose sight of this, beloved. Hell isn't a joke. The judgment seat of Christ is not a joke. And when he comes to judge in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel, beloved, don't want to be found there. Don't want the wrath of God to be poured out on you. Don't want to go into a darkness that can be felt. You're talking about isolation. You know or from feel nothing. It's a darkness that can be felt, and the smoke of the torment endures forever. I'm saying this because, you see, those that are forgiven much love much. And sometimes we come running to God for his mercy because we realize the condition and the state that we were in. Thank God for this next verse. One of the great but gods, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he has loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ. That's really sort of going beyond where I want to go at the moment, because I want to go down to verse 12 here, talking about our condition. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope. Passed one of your churches this morning, said the way of man is a hopeless end. Way of God, endless hope. That's a difference. Having no hope. Beloved, that's where we were. Just say to yourself, I had no hope. Just remind yourself where you were. Because you've been brought from this. You've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son from this kingdom of darkness, beloved. And I want to share this morning this glorious fact that God has taken us out of our Adamic inheritance by cutting off our root. When we were crucified with Christ and he was cut off out of the land of the living and engrafted us into a new root, and that new root is Christ. And so we're without hope, without God in the world. Without God in the world. See, one of the things that Jesus came to save us from was from himself. Did you hear that? Because if you're not saved here this morning, you're not saved from what Jesus is going to do in pouring out his judgment on you. All judgment is given to the Son, and it's in fiery vengeance that he does it. You see, if you're a Christian here this morning, the worst thing that can ever happen to you won't ever happen to you. And God good? I mean, all this stuff here, beloved, that's what we were facing. It's what you were facing. We were all here. And being separate from Christ and without hope, without God in the world, what an inheritance you and I inherited from Adam. Fallen nature, depravity, beloved. But if we can get hold of this, love will start to flow towards God for his great love, his great mercy, wherewith he's loved us. And turn with me to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because we get these two men contrasted here. And it's wonderful to see here and in Romans the consequences of our relationship with these two men. And it's in, for our time's sake this morning, we'll take it up in verse 45 of 1 Corinthians 15. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's a difference. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Now, we were all born naturally. Here we all are. Products of the genes of our mothers and our fathers and generations that go back. And that was natural birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, certainly can't enter it. And so he says, has it got to be another natural birth? How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? No, Jesus said, no, that which is the flesh is flesh, that's natural. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. First of all, you've been born naturally. But beloved, you've got to be born again. When I say got to, Jesus said must. And when God says must, there's no equivocation there. You must be born again. If you've not been born again here, you're under the wrath of God, it abides on you, and you're going to hell. And God loves you, and he wants to save you, and he's done great things to save you at great cost, as we'll see. So what we have here, verse 47, the first man is from the earth, earthy. Second man is from heaven. These are the only two men in God's economy. We're all in Adam, or we're in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. So as is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Yeah, according to the power that Jesus Christ has, who's able to subdue all things to himself, he's going to change our vile body, or the body of our humiliation, like unto his glorious body, and this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. Before we get there in our bodies, it does not yet appear what we shall be, because we're appearing in this body. But listen, even in this body, this was the body of Adamic nature, the body of sin. It manifested sin. Beloved, there's such a transformation that God does within. This actually becomes the body of Christ. And this body, spirit and your body are the Lord's. This body, beloved, In our mortal body, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ can be made manifest. In our mortal flesh, says Paul, so that we don't misunderstand what he's talking about. This, it expressed sinful nature. Now it can express divine nature, even in this mortal body. So don't discount your body. It's a testimony, and it can be a testimony gloriously of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Romans 5, let's turn there because we get this contrast magnified a little bit here. And again, for our sakes this morning, we'll take it up in verse 15 of Romans chapter 5. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which comes through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, hallelujah, it's another hand. On the other hand, free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. Can you lay hold of this afresh this morning, beloved? That God justified you. That you are able to be joined unto utter purity and utter holiness without God being defiled. He's not embracing anything lesser than him. Why? Because we're born of God, it's his nature, and we're as holy as he that has called us as holy. We're just told to be that. You can't be it unless you're born it. And once you've been born it, you can let it. That's the operative word in the New Testament. You can't try it. If you try it, you're coming from a negative premise. That means you're not like it. That's why you're going to try and be like it. You never try, never told to try and be a Christian. Could never be. Especially trying to be like God. Now, you've got to be born of God to be like God. The operative word is let it. If you try it, you haven't got it. You let it. No. If you try it, you're not it. You let it because you got it. Remember that. So, and it's because we've got this. This transaction has taken place. It was of great price. Let's read on here. Verse 16, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It takes us out of being under the dominion into having the dominion. Sin shall not have dominion, and he always causes us to triumph. We're more than conquerors through him that loves us. So we're taken from being defeated to being victorious. He reigns victorious, and those who are crucified with him, buried with him, those only can be raised with him. Those only can be seated with him and reign with him. And this is all part of this glorious transformation. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. That one act, by the way, lasted 33 years. Because it could have never been received as a sacrifice for sin if Jesus at any time had defiled himself and not being the perfect, pure, spotless Lamb of God. Never lose sight of the fact that all the temptations and the hostility, everything that came against him, he never did sin. Just bow and thank him. Because our justification was on the basis of a glorious cry. You see, there was a cry that went up one day, Adam has fallen. And God's remedy, the way God was going to defeat what had happened in Adam, was a great cry that went up one day, Jesus is risen. Amen. And he was raised for, yes, but better translated, because of our justification. You see, it was because the blood was accepted that he was raised from the dead. If he'd have been defiled himself, his blood would not be accepted. He would never have been raised from the dead, and you and I would be still in our trespasses and sins. We would still be under Adamic curse and wrath of God. But see, he's delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's no condemnation now. This was all condemnation. Now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Adam. No. Now, your Adamic root has been cut off. You've been rooted in another. The root is holy. The tree is holy. The fruit is holy. And you don't bear the root. The root bears you. All the other people have got to carry their gods around with them. Hallelujah. We carry our God. No, he carries us. The root bears us. Hallelujah. So he's the vine. We're the branches. So it's a wonderful sort of contrast here. So then, through the one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many were made righteous. The law came in that the transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That as sin reigned in death, wow, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he who knew no sin was made sin for us. That is understood very clearly from, please go with me to the Philippian letter, because this is what it cost our Lord Jesus. He put it in these terms of a strong man arm keeps all his goods secure. You can read that in Luke's Gospel in chapter 11 from verse 21 and 22. A strong man arm keeps all his goods secure until a stronger than he comes. And when the stronger man comes, he said, he attacks. We haven't got sort of a passive Jesus. Jesus came on the attack. And he attacked the strong man. He prevailed over him and took from him all his armor in which he trusted. And this he did on the cross. We're just going to read this here. And he did that when he spoiled principalities and powers, make an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. And he disarmed rulers and authorities. He disarmed them, beloved. Jesus did it in his weakness. He was weak. He nearly couldn't get off the ground in the garden, contemplating what it was to be made sin and to be separated from his Father. Never known sin. He'd never known separation. But he loved us and gave himself for us. That is, he was willing to be made one with his bride in her sin and death. And it is written that for this reason, for this cause, a man shall cleave to his wife and forsake his father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because Jesus was being joined unto his bride in her sin. And listen, the wrath of God was being poured upon him. The judgment was upon him. The condemnation was upon him. And the curse is everyone who is hung on a tree. The curse came upon him. And he was willing to do that. You and I will know the meaning of that in the ages to come. But as it is today, beloved, just get hold of the fact that your condition Jesus took upon himself. Because he loved us. We get it all here in Philippians chapter 2. It's another, let this mind be in you. Let it. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he existed in the form of God, he was God, he was with God and was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was God. John Baptist, his older cousin, 3 months older than Jesus in his flesh, John Baptist said, not only is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, not only is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, but he is preferred before me because he existed before me. For Abraham was, I am. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Who's this speaking? This is Jesus. You see, he was in the form of God. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In fact, every rule, authority, and dominion was made by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Listen, beloved, and today by him all things hold together. And the reason things are collapsing around us is because Jesus is on the throne. So rejoice that the world is being shaken, because God's going to shake the world. And rejoice, it's time for the kingdom of God to come and make itself known. And we're going to love as we've never loved. We're going to be rescued from Western Christianity in all its comfort. We're going to be rescued from it. We're going to be like the early church. They're one heart and one soul. Jesus has taken us there, beloved, to a new expression of loving one another and not counting on aught that we have our own. He's going to save us from our independence, and he's going to bring us together to love one another, to just share. And those that haven't got any, we'll give to those. And if we haven't got, we'll be given to. And God's going to do a wonderful thing through what's happening in the whole earth. I'm glad it's global. It's not being hid in a corner. Get hold of this, beloved, and rejoice in it. Never seen the righteous beg bread yet. You'll do fine. Just phone up Mark. So anyway, this is what God is calling us to. The call went out. John was weeping bitterly. There's no one could open this book or loose its seals. Listen, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and loose its seals. And this is how it was done. So he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Can you ever conceive that? Put it like this. If you're the CEO of a great company, CEO, is it? Yes, CEO. Got a bad name these days, CEOs. Anyway, if you were a CEO, and for the sake of the company, you told the board of directors, I'm going to become the janitor. That's the sort of terms that we understand. That is nothing compared with what this is. This is God, one who's in the form of God, in that pleasurable community of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lacking nothing, needing nothing, self-sufficient, God supreme. But he's got a love in his heart. And he's got things to overcome to fulfill a purpose. If God is going to fulfill his purpose, sin has got to come in and be so conclusively dealt with that it never raises its head again in all eternity. So sin's got to come in. Even the perfect one. The day that he was created, Lucifer, son of the morning, son of beauty, covering cherub, he was to fall in heaven. He was to come to earth, and he was to deceive Eve. Adam, eyes open, transgressed, and he brought man down. But God was in control of it, because it's working out an eternal purpose where none of this will ever happen again in all eternity. You and I will never sin in thought, word, or deed in all the ages to come in all eternity. Because sin has been conclusively dealt with in time. The everlasting kingdom, the everlasting righteousness, the everlasting eternal purpose. Before the world was, this all happened. Before the earth was, all being conceived. Now, sin comes in as a temporal intrusion in an eternal sphere, but it has a beginning. And it has an end. Hallelujah. And we who were susceptible to sin, where we even loved our sin and loved darkness more than light because our deeds were evil. We're more evil than we thought, beloved. There we were, lost in Adam in this condition. And this is what God does. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he didn't grasp. He didn't say, no, I'm not going to let go, I'm God. What's got to happen? You've got to become man to save man. You've got to become sin to save from sin. You've got to know all the condemnation, judgment, and curse, and wrath of God so that you can deliver them from it. And his love was so great, the love of the Father. in sending his son and the love of a son in coming and giving himself for us, beloved. But he emptied himself, he divested himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, as if that wasn't enough, humbling. He humbles himself even unto obedience to the point of death. To the point of death because, of course, he gave up the ghost. He said, no man takes my life from me. I've got power to lay it down. And with a loud voice, he said, it's finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And they thought they'd killed him. And he was dead. I'm he that was dead, said Jesus. But Peter says, your wicked hands may have put him there. But listen, I want you to know, it was by the predetermined will and counsel of God that this happened. This was according to the foreknowledge of God. You think you've done something? Well, yeah, you've been used as a tool by God, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but unto the sacrifice for sin. And all the sacrifices and all those types and shadows, all pointing to a time when the Lamb of God would come and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, for forgiveness and for cleansing, for purification, for sanctification. It's all done through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Thank you, Jesus. Even the death of the cross. Well, therefore, God has highly exalted him. So he emptied himself. He wasn't emptied. He wasn't humbled. He humbled himself. He did all this himself. Well, he didn't exalt himself because he did all that humbling himself. Then God has highly exalted him. God's given him a name above every name. That's why we center on Christ and him crucified and have nothing else known among you, says Paul, but Christ and him crucified, because everything's wrapped up in this. It's the whole purpose of God for time and eternity. And it's all in Jesus Christ. He's exalted him. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. He brings to mind the things that Jesus said. Holy Spirit is the only one who can glorify him. Jesus said, he's the only one that can testify of me, that Spirit of truth. Oh, by the way, and you also, after he's come upon you. But it's the Holy Spirit who gives testimony to Jesus. And when we have the indwelling Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we've not only received the Word of God and been born again by that Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has come upon us and anointed us for the task that God gives us a measure for. The different gifts. Hallelujah, we've got gifts that differ. But together, we can do so much. We don't stand on one another's toes. We stand on one another's weaknesses in our strengths. And in our weaknesses, my brother and sister, they stand there in their strengths in my weaknesses. This is how we relate to one another. We need each other. God has made it like that. We're members one of another. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So now in Jesus, as the hymn writer says, in him the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. We're taken beyond where innocent Adam was to a righteousness that cannot be undone. To being born of incorruptible seed that will never know corruption. Amen. To have eternal life that will never know only a temporal existence. So we have this glorious, glorious end in Christ. And this is what he's done. So Colossians chapter 1. Just turn over the page from Philippians to Colossians here. Terrible place to end of verse in verse 11, but we'll take it up at the end of verse 11, because there's no chapters and verses in the original. And the man who tried to help us out in doing this, I think it was Bishop Usher, he should have left well alone, shouldn't he? See, we become so sort of textually involved that if we didn't have chapters and verses, we just had letters, and wanted to find something, what would we have to do? Duh. I mean, who doesn't want us to read the Bible? So let's cut it all up so you can go here and there and never have to get the whole thing in context. Anyway, that's just a pet peeve I've got. But it comes out here, end of verse 11, joyously. That's the end of the verse, okay? Joyously. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah, by the way, this is verse 12. Joyously giving thanks to the Father. Why? Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light? Just say to yourself, beloved, please say to yourself, I am qualified. God has qualified me. Feel good about that? See, God has qualified you. See, we couldn't qualify ourselves. It's like trying to justify ourselves. By the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Now, God justifies us. God's in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Us, we're dead in trespasses and sin. We, while we're enemies, we were reconciled. Wow. That's right. This is something God has done through the humbling of his Son and the death on the cross, the blood that was shed, beloved. God has qualified us to what? To share in the inheritance of the saints of light. We had fallen nature. Now we have divine nature, partakers of the divine nature. We had Adamic nature. Now, beloved, we're partakers of Christ. He is our life. We share his life. He shared his life. He's the head, we're the body, and we're not a body decapitated. Walking around here like this chicken with no head, you know, walking around. No. Jesus doesn't sing that song. I ain't got no body. So anyway, Jesus is the head of his body, the church. Do this to them, you do it to me. Least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. You're persecuting me. Paul says, you? I thought you were dead. I'm persecuting those people called away. He said, no, that's me. Can we see that? You and I are members of Christ's body, members one of another, but members in particular of the body of Christ. And you've got a function in this body. And the energy and the power and the ability comes from your head. And the will comes from your head. And the strength comes from your head. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so whatever God wants the body to do, however powerfully moving in this earth and amongst the people out there, God wants it, beloved. He's the source of our life, and we share that life. We're inheritors of the saints in light. What an incredible inheritance we have. So he's qualified us. As regards the blessings, we haven't got time to turn there now, but you can read it in the Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you for the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I want us to get hold of this because I want us to get in a few moments to finish off what we're dealing with, this little phrase, all things, all things. So there's not a blessing that you could ask for that God hasn't already accommodated in Jesus. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Well, that's better than this dead in trespasses and sin business, isn't it? I mean, having no hope, without God, without Christ, they're depraved, under the dominion of sin, spirit of this world working in us, and oh man, God's delivered us. Jesus is the deliverer, who has delivered us, does deliver, and will yet deliver us. Hallelujah. So we'll take it up in Romans chapter 8 for our time's sake, because Mark says we've got to finish. So, thank you. But those notices were anointed. They were good notices. Very inspiring notices, definitely. So, Romans chapter 8, please. And familiar verses, but let's rehearse them. That's all we're doing this morning. I mean, it's all been written there. So it's already been there a long time. So, we'll read it in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, and this chapter is dealing with the indwelling Spirit as opposed to chapter 7, indwelling sin. We've been saved from that. We've been redeemed from that. We've been cleansed from that. We've been forgiven. Aren't you happy you're forgiven? Yes. Thank you. What forgiveness. Just forgive yourself as much as God has forgiven you. Wow. Did you hear that? Don't keep hitting yourself over the head with a mallet that Satan gives you. Because Jesus gives you a cloth to wipe away the sweat of the remembrance of sin. You don't have to remember it. Why? Because God's forgotten it on the basis of what? He remembers the table. This do in remembrance of me. God remembers. And he's on the basis of that remembrance, he forgets. This is the omniscient one decreeing to forget. He who knows everything about everything will not know your sin anymore. That's good, isn't it? Just take that to yourself this morning and smile. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for justification. Thank you for qualifying me. Oh, we could all get happy about this. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see, there's one thing that Paul says we all got to be seeking, to know him. Amen. But he says there's something that's more important than knowing him. What's that? Rather, he says, to be known of him. Oh, how do I know I'm known of God? It's when His Spirit tells me I'm His child. And when after He's told me that, I cry out. This is not some sort of little prayer you do with your head bowed. You cry out, Abba, Father! Wow, you're the Father of the life that I now have. You've birthed me. Yeah. If you've never done that, God says, shout unto God. Yeah. Well, it's not holy to shout. The Holy One commands us to shout. And shout unto God, what? With a voice of triumph. Triumph over sin, over Satan, of the world, or everything it can offer, beloved. The triumph of Christ. He's caused him to triumph, and he always leads us in Christ's triumph. Amen. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come and present yourself as those who are alive unto God. So here I am, Father. You're the Father of the life that I have. I've got your genes now. It doesn't matter if I don't know where my genes came from naturally, because that's all going to finish anyway. And this body's going to go into the dust, beloved. But Father, you're my Father for all time and all eternity. Amen. You're my God. You're my Father. Lord Jesus, you're my head. Holy Spirit, you're my life. I and them, them and me and I and you, that they may be one in us. It's happened. This has all been achieved. So, Romans 14. Listen to this, verse 17. If children, heirs also. How about this? Heirs of God. That says the whole thing, doesn't it? There's nothing outside of that, is there? See, fellow heirs, joint heirs, that's the word there. Joint heirs with Christ. See, God has decreed him and declared him to be the heir of all things. That's scripture. Well, what does that make us then? We're joint heirs with him. You see, we're heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. We haven't got time to go into the if here, but there is an if there. But we haven't got time. But it is there. Don't disregard the if scriptures. You may miss a whole important issue. But for our sake today, let's go to verse 28. We love this verse, don't we? We know, and here it is, the word, God causes all things. First of all, before we get to the all things, it's God who's the original cause. Satan hasn't caused this. Man hasn't called this. Even your new birth, not by the will of flesh nor the will of man, but of God. God's the cause. God qualifies us. God reconciles us. Jesus comes to us while we're dead, while we're hostile, while we're enemies. God does all this. He's done it. Worship him, thank him, praise him that God has predestined you and elected you and chosen you to fulfill his heart and for his love to be shed abroad in your heart. Just praise him, worship him. Don't get caught up in arguments about these biblical words. Don't say man brought them. Calvin didn't invent it. Augustine didn't invent it. In fact, Paul didn't invent it. He was taught by Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus says he's elected you and chosen you, you've not chosen him. When he said he's predestined you, you better believe it and worship him. Yeah. Now, you may not understand it. You may not be able to explain it to others. But you can be thankful that you love the Lord. Because if you've got anything like a heart towards the Lord today, it's because the Father of Jesus drew you to Jesus. No man can come to me unless the Father that sent me draw him. The other absolute, of course, is no one can come to the Father except by me. But you see, the Father draws you to Jesus because it's in Jesus that he wants you to be reconciled to himself. And we do not believe that God is so big that he doesn't only have one way. I saw a bumper sticker. No. We don't believe such a thing. We believe that there's only one way. And Jesus wouldn't have had to have gone through what he went through if there was any other way, if there was another commandment, if there was another God, if there was another way of living. Do you think Jesus would have been made sin and sacrificed himself if there possibly could be another way? No, there's no other name given under men whereby we must be saved, under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the only way. We won't be liked for it, beloved. We're going to be called intolerant. But you see, someone's going to believe our testimony because you believe someone's testimony. If you're here today as a Christian, a bit of leaven rolled up against you, unleavened as you were, and you got leavened, just go out and get close to someone out there. You can't help leavening them because this leaven is in you. And you'll touch your neighbours and you'll touch the world out there. And beloved, that's the way God leavens the whole lump. Romans 28, we know that all things, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren, sent to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Verse 30, and he whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So he tries and puts it so that we can understand. Listen, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? For our time's sake today. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or the sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Another word, all here, all these things. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Christ who loves us. So I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Just jump up and down about that, beloved. Be happy about it. And we're going to finish in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I just want you to be blessed today, beloved, that he came to save us from himself, from the wrath of God, came to save us from our sins. You may be able to identify with all these, but beloved, there's bound to be something here which you identify with. All I'm doing is quoting scripture. He came to save us from our enemies, from the dominion of sin. He came to give us forgiveness. He came to give us peace, joy, rest, a hope, a future, freedom, guidance, purpose, comfort, incorruptibility, assurance, confidence, boldness, revelation of mysteries, his mind, his strength, his power. He wants us to know that he nourishes us, he cherishes us, he's brought us into his family. We're complete in him. He's perfected us. He's on a way to perfecting us. Spirits of just men made perfect. That's where we're going, beloved. He nourishes and cherishes us, and not only that, he rewards us. Oh, man. He makes us worshippers, singers, soldiers, fighters, wrestlers, overcomers, conquerors, and lovers. So how does Paul conclude this? This is our conclusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 21. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And one day Jesus, having had all things put beneath his feet by the Father, will give the kingdom back to God. And God will be all in all. And by the grace of God, you and I will be part of that all. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Listen, as you see that transition, that transformation, going from dead in our trespasses and sins, separated from God, without hope, without God in the world, to all of a sudden now, because of what Jesus has done, being transformed, being translated, being put in a place where now the life of God flows through you, so that for all eternity you never have to fear, again, what the worst thing that could ever happen to you. It happened to Jesus. And so he took it on himself. Y'all, that's an incredible privilege. So when you think about that now, thinking about this whole message, how many of you get the feeling we've been living too low a level? So I'm afraid what's happened is we've been living in such a way that we think that God has called us to struggle our way out of Adam, to struggle and fight and claw our way out of the old nature, when in fact we are brand new people. Man, let's put off the old man. Let's put on the new man. Y'all, there's victory here. This is good news. In fact, when I was listening to Peter preach this in the early service, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have to do a series that'll take me the rest of my life to do it. But just going through the Bible, just preaching the good news, just finding passages that are just good news, and just declaring that. You know, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get the instruction part, because there's so much good news, but it's the good news that makes it possible to live out the instructions. It's the good news that you're a new man that makes it possible, guys, to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's the good news of the new life in Christ that gives you the freedom, ladies, to as to the Lord. And so, well, yeah, cut out there, didn't it? Let me repeat that in case you didn't hear it when the microphone went out. All right. Listen, it's been wonderful to be here today. And just isn't it good just to soak in the Word of God? Man, listen, Scripture, the truth of Scripture is just such a means, an avenue of grace for us. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive an offering, and we get to bless Peter and Carla. You know, we get to be a part of their continued ministry to declare this kind of truth to people all over the place. And so 1 Corinthians talks about the people in Macedonia and said that they, out of their poverty, gave so abundantly to the work of God in Jerusalem that even Paul was shocked at their generosity. And so here's what we're going to do. If you would like to write a check as a love offering for Peter and Carla, you can write that to Deeper Life Fellowship. Let's give them a moment to do that. And then we'll give Peter and Carla one check as they leave this afternoon. So I want to encourage you, whatever amount that you're thinking of right now, double it. Listen, be generous. And Dudley Hall always said, you know, if you're wondering, if you know how to hear God, then right now just ask the Lord. Say, God, I'm prepared to give everything that's in my checking account unless you give me a different amount. I guarantee you, you'll be hearing the voice of God in moments. So you will learn how to hear God's voice. So we'll give you just a second to prepare that. But we just want to be an incredible blessing to Peter and Carla. They are so good about coming over here at a moment's notice. Listen, again, I can never repay Peter for what he's fed into me. And so if you enjoy what the Lord's doing at Deeper Life Fellowship, you need to bless Peter. See, he's a big part of that. So let's receive that offering now, and in just a moment we'll be dismissed. All right, here's what we're going to do today. Here's how we're going to end this. There are books available. Peter has his books at the back, Act Like a Man and The Truth of the Gospel. And I'm sure if you wait around for a few moments, he'll be happy to sign that for you if you'd like. Or Carla will sign it for him. And and Lonnie has his book available. So if you'd like to buy Lonnie's book, he is here to do a book signing today. So right after the service, we have two authors doing book signings here. I mean, it's worth it to come just for that. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Lonnie's book is his testimony of It's been just now over a year, hadn't it, Lonnie? About a year in 2 weeks. A year ago, Lonnie, who was associate pastor here and planted a church across the bay, got cancer. And long story short, need to read the story. We think the cancer was healed, but the treatments killed him. Last February, he died and was raised from the dead. And so that book is the story of the Lord's work in that. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless God. Thank you, God. So, he had an experience with heaven that we didn't even hear about. He didn't tell anybody about for months. But that's in there, too, of what he experienced in heaven. So, listen, it's incredible. This, Lonnie's message about this, I mean, this whole experience really has changed my life. So I'm not the same after all that. So go meet Lonnie and get his book and read about all that. Got, I think, a few DVDs back there, too, maybe, of that, when he shared it here last May. So, yeah, Reba. Yeah. Yeah, that's isn't that crazy? Man, yeah, he's alive right now. That's right. I mean, God forbid that we should ever get callous handling the holy. You know what I mean? That we should always maintain a wonder about that. And a marveling at the power of God. You know, one of the things that I love is last year, as Lonnie, when Lonnie was raised from the dead, and as he began to, and he got healed immediately of some other stuff right then. You know, he had some short-term memory problems and stuff. And one of the comments that came out as we talked with another friend is, "Well, that's common for people who've been raised from the dead." And I love the fact that we live in a time and in a place and in an atmosphere where we can talk about what's common for people who've been raised from the dead. I love that. That's a beautiful thing. So, all right, stand up with me. Here's what we're going to do. Peter said a number of the times, if you're listening, he'd say, just take that, rejoice. You should shout about that. Jump up and down and shout about it. You heard that a number of times. Listen, everybody, we did this once today, but now, in light of the good news that you heard, if today in this building you stand here alive to God because of the sacrifice of Jesus, then would you right now shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph? Jump up and down. Bless the Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, we say today that our voice of triumph is a voice that you've given us because you triumphed over principalities and powers. You made a public spectacle of them on the cross. You ridiculed them. And so today we shout with a voice of triumph, not our own triumph, but the triumph, the victory of Jesus that has made us now more than conquerors in your name. So, Lord, we bless you. We love you. We want to live at the level that Jesus died for us to live at. Thank you, Lord. We are yours now, now and forever. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you very soon.